Welcome to the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast, the number one hoodoo and spirituality-based podcast bringing awareness to African-American spirituality in a wide range of thought-provoking topics. I am Papa Seer, your host, your narrator, and your storyteller. Before the show begins, make sure you're subscribed or following the show so you don't miss out on any episodes. And as always, donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to upgrade the show, enhance our content, and most importantly, do what we love. You can use any link in the description to send your donation of love today. Now, let's start the show. All right, well, good evening and grand rising. We are here live streaming on YouTube. I am your host, your seer, your narrator for this evening with my special guest co-host, Cosmic, aka Dr. Cosmic. We are here with another episode of the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast, a very special episode of the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast. I'm so excited. I am so ready to get this show started tonight. Spiritual smoke. Now, a lot of you tapped in thinking that Dr. Cosmic and I was probably going to have some type of debate, or maybe that we were going up against each other. But that's not even the case tonight. I think this is just one of my brothers in spirit, and we have a beautiful message that we just wanted to share with the world tonight. So without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and let Brother Cosmic introduce himself again for those of you all who may not know him on the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast.
From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be upon all of you. We bring you greetings from the House of Zion Spiritual Temple and her community. You can find more about us online at ziontemple.org. I am, as Sears already said, Dr. Cosmic Nawaji. I have the esteemed privilege of being the overseer and the chief servant of that temple. And I'm just grateful to God to be here. I'm so thankful for God sending us our ancestors who show us the way of creation and our elders who show us the way of life. So thank you.
Brother, I thank you so much for being here. You know, the last time we did a show together was really, really good. I got a lot of good feedback. I got an opportunity to be introduced to the Temple of Zion and some of your godchildren. And I just think everything that you are doing over there is amazing. So even to just be a friend of that and to be a part of that is awesome. So, of course, we welcome you back here graciously as many times as you want to come back to the Hoodoo and Chill Podcast. So I don't want to hold anything up. I don't want to hold us back tonight. I want us to just go ahead and jump right on into this. So for those of you that follow Cosmic, I know I definitely do on Instagram. We're going to make sure that we post this Instagram in the description of the podcast today. You've been doing a lot of posting about cigars. Now, I was very, very intrigued by this just because of, you know, my culture, the things that I'm into, and just the knowledge that I have on what cigars are for. And I find this intriguing because, you know, we are in this space, of course, where we're in this new resurgence of the traditional practices. And a lot of us are seeing the cigars being used, but we're not necessarily understanding why or how or what they're for. But what I love about what your work is doing, you're pushing it to the limit and taking it beyond us just blowing charges or giving them as offerings. So, you know, I welcome you here tonight and just wanted to just first open up the space on the floor for you to just elaborate a little bit more on what spiritual smoke really is from Dr. Cosmic.
Spiritual smoke is a bridge. It's a bridge between the celestial and the terrestrial, between the material and the spiritual. It is a bridge between the senses, the physical senses, and the spiritual sense of spirit. I can see smoke with my eye, but the spirits can touch it.
I just got chills right now when you said that I can see smoke with my eye, but the spirits can touch it. That makes, you know, when you say that, I almost start thinking about jinn immediately, but I don't even want to get into that yet. Not yet. What do you mean by that? So the audience can have a better understanding of what you mean by I can see smoke with my eye, but the spirit can touch it.
So one of my moniker that I inherited from my grandfather was, I don't need eyes to see you. I don't need feet to find you. I don't need hands to touch you. And of course, he's speaking that, you know, he's a carrier of spirits. And so that's what the spirits can do. The spirits can touch things that we can't touch. They can see things that we can't see. They can go places that we can't go. And the smoke is a bridge. It's how we pass the work off to them to see what we can't see, to touch what we can't touch, and to go where we can't go. That's what smoke does.
So how does the cigar come into place with this? Like, how can we tie this into the workings of a cigar? Because a lot of people just think that they're there. A lot of people believe that the cigar is only used to bless or to charge the work. And it is, definitely. But could you just elaborate a little bit further on how the cigar plays such heavy precedence in what you're talking about?
Yes, definitely. So the cigar's connection with the mouth is one of the key components of its power. Because the mouth, we speak from the mouth, we eat from the mouth, but most of what we also breathe, we can breathe from the mouth, right? The mouth holds the tongue. The tongue represents the spiritual sense of discernment. So when you're using a cigar, the cigar itself is a work, right? When we're going to get into that in a little bit, just keep that in the back of your mind. The cigar itself is a work. And so as I said, that it is passed to the spirits through its smoke. So the cigar, which is a work, is converted into the spirit world.
What's up, family? It's Papa Seer, your favorite podcast host of the number one hoodoo-based podcast and spirituality-based podcast wherever you get your podcast. If you haven't taken the time yet, please make sure that you follow the podcast. If you're listening to us on Apple or wherever, you can leave a comment, leave us a 5-star rating with a comment. That really helps the podcast in more ways than you can believe, and it's totally free. But I just want to remind everyone that while this is free content, the Hoodoo and Chill podcast, we thrive and we survive on donations of love. If you have it, if you feel it in your heart to send us a donation of love, we thank you and we pray that whatever you send, it is reciprocated to you 3 times over. We want to keep this content alive and we want to promote posting this content more regularly. So again, donations of love keep our podcast alive. Comments, 5 stars, take us to heights that you wouldn't even believe, and we need your love and we need your support. Please use one of the links in the podcast description to send your donation of love. And we graciously thank you all for everything that you do to keep the Hoodoo and Chill podcast on air. Now, back to the show. So the last thing we heard was that the cigar bridges the connection between us and spirit, and that the power comes from us putting into the mouth. That was the last piece that you were elaborating on, the importance of the physical connection to the mouth.
Okay. Yeah. So the mouth, you know, you eat with your mouth. The mouth also, because it holds the tongue, is the seat of the spiritual sense of discernment. But more importantly, as it relates here, the mouth is also where you breathe. So the breath is there. The breath and the words are there. And it's interesting how words have a weight and a substance and a strength and a power, but they also are weightless at the same time. They're invisible at the same time. You don't have to be in the same room to hear them at the same time, just like what? Smoke.
I like the fact that we are speaking heavily on the physical connection to the work, because you know, blessed are your spirits. I was just speaking about this not too long ago. I said, I think a lot of times, especially now with the modern version of what we're doing, we're removing the physicality, the physical touch. And I said, you know, how is it hoodoo if it's not ingested, if it doesn't touch the skin, there has to be some type of physical component of touch there for the work to really take its effect. And I'm glad that you started this off with just talking about just how important it is for us to have physical connection to the things that we're doing and just how much energy comes out of the mouth. When we were scripting, we did talk about divination as well. Could you just please elaborate a little bit about how the cigar plays a role in divination You know, because I know we have a lot of mediums. I know we have a lot of diviners, tarot readers, card readers, and I'm pretty sure they want to know how the cigar can either enhance or take their divination just a little bit further.
Yeah. So just in divining with the smoke, I mean, we can get, let's just throw out five things just right off top, right? So the smoke will speak to you. The smell will speak to you. The color will speak to you. The ash itself will speak to you. Even the taste or the flavor will speak to you, as it is a more of a sweeter taste, but maybe it has a more pungent smell. You see, these combinations really get very myopic and give you very high definition. Yeah, so the clarity of it can become very myopic. In other words, you're going to get a lot more dimension, high definition, all right, resolution in your divination, because you have more than one factor to depend upon this on. So I'll give you an example. There are omens that show up in the ash itself. Faces show up there. I've got multiple examples of that. Different symbols, just almost like tea leaves, how they're read. You will see birds in it. The ash will begin to show you faces and shapes and spirits and so on. That's just with the ash. Then, of course, you have the smoke. What is the smoke doing? Is it rising? Is it falling? Is it heading? Is it moving away from you or towards you? Is it heavy, meaning that it's dense? It just stays in the same environment. Doesn't really move a whole lot. Again, what kind of color is coming into the smoke? Is it a deep gray? Is it more of a darker, more of a, like a black smoke? Is it a very light white smoke? Does it have a kind of a blue tinge to it? And furthermore, are there forms that show up again in the smoke? I was saying the tongue, right? We're coming back to that again. The taste, right? As you're going through the working of the cigar, how is the taste evolving, right? That's also an indication to you what the spirits are doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, you see. It's the same way how you detect herbs, you know, through the smell, through the taste, through how many leaves are on it. It's the exact same process. As I said, the smoke, the smell, the taste, the color.
This takes it to a whole nother level. And I could just speak on an experience myself, just, you know, a friend of mine that I know that does readings, but the only tools that they use are, you know, just the cigar, literally. They might just speak to you or he might write it down. But I know for a fact that the spirit that he works with is channeled by using the cigar and just by using the smoke. And I think that that's very important, especially as we're walking into this space. You know, I've been doing a lot more talking about like just working with your spirit guides and just the importance of that. And I'm so glad that you brought up divination with the cigar, because there are certain spirit guides where that is what they require. You know, you may not necessarily have to smoke the cigar yourself, but they might want one burning. You might have a skull or something like that that you're channeling the energy through. You might want to put the cigar in the mouth of that, a doll. You know, I've seen a lot of people do it with dolls and things of that nature, and literally the cigar will start puffing if, you know, right, of course, if the spirit is activated. So you know, I agree, and I'm so happy that you are taking spiritual and this occult education to the next level and putting this information out there for our people, because a lot of this is known very much well. So in South America, Mexico, places like that, like the extent of working with the cigar is very well known. But I think here we are aware, but not to the extent of what you're bringing to the table. And this is what I really wanted to hear a little bit more too. It was the doopy catching for me with the cigars. And for those of y'all that don't know what doopy catching is, that is it's kind of a very old Caribbean term for like catching spirits. And that's something that's very prevalent in hoodoo conjure traditions, as well as Gullah traditions as well. You might see people nail the spirits to the trees or nail the shadows to the trees, use the bottles to do it. But when we talk about catching a spirit with a cigar, that is what I really would love for you to just elaborate on as much information as you could give us. You know, I don't want you to give away too many of your secrets for your class, but like as much as you can give us, could you just walk us into that a little bit?
I'll take the informative more so than the instructive approach here. So if you're at a particular location, you need to catch a spirit, there's a ritual that you do. that will begin to cause the spirit to manifest, to materialize so that it can be captured and held. And normally this begins by it gets us showing up in the smoke, because the smoke is the more ethereal, the more subtle. It's easier for the spirit to show itself in that, right? And so you pretty much bait the spirit with the tobacco. And so it comes into the smoke first. Then before you know it, it shows up in the ash, you see. And now once you have it in the ash, then you reverse the cigar, because now it's been captured in the cigar. You reverse the cigar and blow that smoke into a jar, whatever the case may be, with your incantation to bind the spirit there.
So the spirit actually is entrapped into the ash.
Well, that's the second level. Uh-huh. So the first level is in the smoke.
Right.
Right. It's in the environment somewhere, right?
Right.
Undisclosed,
right, right,
and intangible. Right. Then it begins to take on form and solidify into the smoke. Then it begins to solidify into the ash. Then it's solidified into the actual cigar itself. Then you turn the cigar around, now that you have it captured now, uh-huh, in this holding cell. And then you eject it into whatever consecrated vessel you have with your rituals and so on to bind it there.
Would you consider this a form of exorcism? Could this be considered, yeah, a form of exorcism?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think when we think of exorcism, we only think of exorcists. We think of Emily Rose. We think of the movie from the 70s and stuff like that, which is definitely probably one of my favorite movies. But I don't think that we think of exorcism in the milder forms of it, by simply using the cigar. That's awesome. Now, you did speak on the tobacco, and I'm going to go a little bit further into that a little bit later. I think that is very significant, and one of the reasons why I'm here tonight is just to speak on just the spiritual aspect of this. Let's also talk about something too that I think a lot of people are unaware of. Can I just say, brother, it's been a pleasure just watching you work these last couple of days and just seeing some of your process and stuff like that. I think it's really, really good. And I love how you engage with your students, your godchildren, as you're going through your process. I think is very similar to some of the things that I do. So we talked about dressing the cigars. And when we talked about this, I think a lot of people are afraid of this, not necessarily from a point of like something's going to happen to them, but more so the cigar. I think a lot of us don't realize that we can boil the cigar. We can dress the cigar. We can put things into the cigar. And I think that we think that it's only used, you know, in the way that it's intended, I guess. So could you speak on, you know, dressing the cigar? What does that entail? Maybe a few things that you could dress it with and why? Not too much, of course. You guys would definitely need to sign up for Cosmic's class that he's going to have on this and just elaborate a little bit more further. But yeah, I'm going to turn the mic back over to you, brother.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, as with anything that you're using in work, it has to be consecrated, has to go through some process of taking it from the mundane, so to speak, right? The scripture says in Leviticus 10:10, put a distinction between that which is holy and that which is unholy. So they have to have a process to move this to just being mundane use, full of human energies, quote unquote, so then that can be now accessible to the spirit. So you ritualize it, obviously. So that includes preparing the cigar, right? Some rituals call for the cigar to be prepared. I mean, you have to soak it in various things. So for example, with domination work, you might soak it in urine, you see, and then let the cigar, you know, dry out again, you see.
Whose urine? Just, your own?
Your own urine, yes. Is that too old school for this audience? No.
It's not too old school for this audience. I laughed at it because I know urine is we've spoken on this podcast before about how urine is actually a very, very strong link. And even in my classes, I teach that it's nothing to be afraid of. It has ammonia in it. It's not like it's going to kill you. And if you're afraid to use your own, then you probably need to watch what you're drinking anyway. Drink more water. But this is part of the nitty gritty of the practice. And I think that this needs to be talked about more openly because I don't think a lot of people understand just how far the rabbit hole could go. So no, keep going. Urine. What else?
Well, you know, if you want to get to the urine, then of course it's going to be, okay, what day's urine are you going to use? Depending upon what kind of work you're doing. If you're doing a love work, love domination, you have to dominate somebody on your job, you may do another type of day, that kind of thing. So that's just some of the type of preparations. It could be tinctured herbs that the cigar is soaked in and then allowed again to dry. Normally, we will set all of our confections before the spirit we're going to work with. We have four candles there around it. so that the Spirit gets a chance to do the work he wants to do on it. So we have cigars that have been prepared. They're going to dry. Obviously, you put them, you know, in this in the middle of this, and you go ahead with your ritual, let the Spirit do what they want to do with that. So you got to have them prepared. Again, you prepare them differently. Sometimes you prepare them, sometimes you don't. But dressing them depends upon what your dressing is. Your dressing can be an ointment, right? Which I've been talking a lot about, kind of bringing back to the fore again, kind of making that mainstream a little bit, just with the ointment or with just oil, okay? And then also your powdered herbs or powdered medicines and mixtures on it as well.
Now, the oil, that's not going to, for people that's doing this, we don't want to dress it, the oil too much around the mouthpiece, right? Because that would...
No, absolutely not. Yeah. So when you have a cigar, you need to have at least two fingers, right? Two digits of your fingers from your lips.
Yes.
Don't okay. Get anything past that. You shouldn't even smoke past that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we want everyone listening to this today to be safe in the things that they're doing.
The Hoodoo and Chill podcast will return after this short ad break. Why make another major decision without knowing the outcome beforehand? Would you like to know where your relationship is headed or what the future holds in store for you? My name is Papa Seer, and I want to assist you in making all the right decisions so that you, yes you, may live your best life. Are you seeking a new career? Does your love life need insight? Or maybe you want to connect with your ancestors or past loved ones. The realm of divination holds all the answers to your fortune. Allow me to use some of my abilities, bone reading, cartomancy, tarot, and mediumship to uncover the answers to your future. Go to hoodooconjurerootwork.com under classes and services to book your appointment today. Your spirit guides are waiting to speak with you. That's hoodooconjurerootwork.com to uncover your destiny today.
Definitely on that. So I really love this. Again, Cosmic, once again, thank you so much for being here and just opening up the door. For those of you who are just now tuning in, we are now just talking about cigars and how they are ritually used across. I wouldn't even just call this necessarily hoodoo. I just would call this spiritual work in general, because you will see a lot of this intersecting in a lot of different practices as well. Now, this is something I wanted to talk about a little bit too. And I guess there isn't a right or wrong way to do this, but there are people who believe in there's a proper way to light a cigar. What do you say about that? Or is there a specific way that you light a cigar? Is there a specific way that you light it for ritual purposes? Is there a specific way to light it for just, is it different from lighting it from recreationally when you do it spiritually? What is your theory on that? And then, of course, I'll give you what has been taught to me.
Yeah, so I don't think there's, it depends upon what tradition you're coming from, right? That tradition's protocols is the proper protocol for that tradition. So the way that I do and the way that I've been taught is, depending upon what you're lighting with, so you might light with a candle, you might light with matches, you might light with book matches. If you're lighting with book matches, you're going to take three of those matches, twist them together, and then have your matchbox there. If you are male, you strike out because of the projective force of the male. If you're female, then of course you strike in, and then you light your cigar. The other way to do it is that if you're working with a particular spirit, then you would use the candle of that spirit to light your cigar first, and then you would take the matches or what have you and press that against the embers of the cigar and say your prayer, of course, and blow out, which will ignite the ember of the match. Then go and light the other candles you have for your work and stuff like that.
See, and the way it was taught to me was when you're doing spirit work, when you're working with this particular spirit and the cigars for that particular spirit, is that you're right. You do use the candle, but you do not take it and inhale it. You let the cigar burn over the candle until it's lit, and then you inhale it, or then you give it to the spirit, whatever that you're working with. So again, I don't like to say right or wrong, but I do love to have the discussion just based upon the different folklore and the traditions, just like you said, just different ways that we've been taught. So if you all were listening, I hope that you caught that. Cosmic and I just drop some gems. You know, if it resonates, let it resonate. If it doesn't, then, you know, it's just something else that you could add to your repertoire as well. We did have a really good deep dive when I went into the question I asked you. I said, well, what about people who don't smoke, right? Because we, you know, we are an all-inclusive podcast. So what do we say to people who wanted, first of all, my first question to you is, people who don't want to smoke and don't want to use cigars yet want to be in this practice or want to be a spiritual worker, what is your first, what do you say to that first?
Okay, I was saying that there's a rule that, I know that says you need to have a cigar to be a spiritual worker.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that the cigar is necessary when it comes to charging, when it comes to blessing spirits? You feel that you can have the same effects without using it at all?
I think you have a different effect. I think that the cigar is distinct and different. And, you know, if cigars aren't your thing, you don't have to make them your thing. But they already have a way of working that works for them. And my personal view is that don't have anything. You know, if you're going to go into it, go into it. If you're not, then you're not. As you already know from earlier today, you know, for me, it's either black and white, either it is or it's not, you know.
I'm
going to make a little change.
Like, you know what, dude, we're going to talk about that privately because I saw the madness today, but it's creative genius. Sometimes we need the madness there. So, okay. We talked a little bit about this and I am going to elaborate a little bit more for those of you guys who do not smoke or do not feel like you, because there are some of y'all who can't medically smoke cigars. So I am going to give you tips and a different way of looking at this working, because we are getting ready to go and talk a lot more about the spirit of tobacco and things of that nature too. So just stay tuned. We got you. How do you feel about cauldron work with the smoke instead of just the cigar? Does it give you the same effect? Let's elaborate a little bit more on that. Like, what do you think the differences is between people who do the smoke work, but yet they do it with the cauldron? They might use the herb, they might use the tobacco, whatever the hell, whatever, you know, have you, versus people who use the cigar. Because you did make a very good point yesterday when you said, well, I mean, that you can do that, but there is a difference. Could you just elaborate on that for the audience today?
Well, certainly this is what we said at the top of the show, to keep that particular piece in mind. We're going to come back to it. And that, you know, if you're working with a cauldron, the smoke has a lot more space to move around, right? And so it's definitely good for changing things environmentally, things that are already very, very ethereal. But I think that what is very exciting about the cigar is the force and the harnessing of the smoke in a particular direction. Right. It's an engine, so to speak. It is being driven. And like I said earlier, it's going to have contact with the mouth. The cauldron is not. So there's a direct contact of your words being converted right in front of your eyes into spirit stuff, right? Into smoke. So the spirits are inhaling. They're not just hearing you. They are inhaling the words right out of your mouth.
Shift this into the spiritual side of this, right? The spiritism, the spirit side of this, because at the end of the day, there's a spirit associated with any and everything that we do in our respective practices. And for me, and I guess just being from Virginia, the things that I've been raised upon and the things that I know, what resonates to me the most is the spirit of the tobacco. Because even in the cigar, it's still wrapped in a tobacco leaf. And I think for anyone, my personal opinion is that if you're going to do this type of work, if you're going to work with a cigar, you're going to work with smoke, you first need to correlate an intimacy, a respect, a knowledge of the tobacco plant, because it is a plant that is indigenous to the Americas. And I think that we have to first understand the history of it, the people who poured so much into this spirit to make sure that it is elevated enough for all of us to work with, you know? So anybody that finds themselves wanting to work with the cigars, smoke, I personally say that you really should study more and find a cultivation for a history of the spirit of tobacco. So I did myself put together a couple of things that I did want to go over with you all. just about the spirit of tobacco as it relates to this, because I think that it does go hand in hand with what you're talking about too. First and foremost, in the indigenous Americas, the tobacco plant was a spirit. It wasn't just a plant. It derived from a spirit. There are many tobacco spirits, many, 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 many tobacco spirits. One that I think a lot of you all may be aware of, study any type of like Crow indigenous spirituality, is Starboy. Starboy was kind of like the Superman of the indigenous peoples of the Americas. And there's a lot of stories about him and the tobacco plant as well. Tobacco originally was not called tobacco. That is a Taino Arawak word. It is tobacco, which the Spanish transferred into what we have today, tobacco. The Blackfoot called it Nawakosis, okay? As well as there's another name for it called Wyandot, as well as many other traditional indigenous names for tobacco. Now, I think the first thing that we have to understand about this spirit is that this was a spirit. There are many legends about it. All of the legends that talk about the spirit of tobacco always talks about it being a gift from God to all people. It talks about it being a plant that's not to be hoarded. It's not a plant that's to be abused. It's an herb that we all supposed to share. It's an herb that literally, just like you said, is the intermediary between the physical and the metaphysical realm, the smoke of the tobacco. And I'm so glad that you put so much emphasis on the element of smoke. I think smoke is its own element. Some people call it air, but I think smoke is its own element. Smoke being used as the messenger spirit to take our prayers up to God. So in one of the traditions, it just talks about how these four brothers were gifted the plant of tobacco from God, but each and every last one of them had a different use that they would do for it. One learned about putting it into a pipe. One learned about burning it as incense. One learned about how to plant it and things of that nature. The indigenous people here really did put an emphasis on how the plant was grown. It wasn't one of those plants that you just put into the ground, throw a seed into the ground, and then we just grew the plant. The seed had to be blessed. The plant had to be buried at a certain time of year. Also, it was believed that from the Seneca people that it was only supposed to be plucked during thunderstorms, right? Like if you were to gather this plant at a different time, it would be considered inferior. And when you are burning tobacco, one way to know if your tobacco is sacred is that when you throw it into the fire, or when you put it on the coal, if it withers and kind of burns slowly, that is a blessed sacred piece of tobacco. If it burns up instantly, it's more so kind of like a piece that can be used to just send a message. It's not necessarily something that should be used in ritual, but it can be used in prayers. Tobacco is a very, very complex spirit.
As I was just making some notes here, because you were just hitting things right on the head. I might think that, you know, you mentioned smoke kind of being its own element. If I could just comment on that, that it is, you know, that's part of the traditions, that smoke is the child of air, fire, and earth. You have the burns, so you have to have something that you then burn, that then the air comes and it produces smoke, right? It's this has three parents. It makes it very, very blessed, which is also why it's very powerful to convey messages to the spirit, you see. But the cigar also has this correspondence with, so you is made of earth, fire, and air. So the only element that is missing is water, which is what he calls out of the person smoking it, right? So you know that if you're smoking tobacco strong, you're gonna have to start spitting, right? It's gonna pull water, right, to balance itself out. So it's gonna call for that water element. And the four elements are already in the cigar. It's the kind of the delineation rather between smoking the cigar. The four elements are already in the cigar. Right. You have, of course, the earth, which is the body of the cigar itself. You have the heat or the ember, the fire that's in the cigar as well. You have the ash that flows like water. It falls and, you know, it's very fluid in that regard. And of course, you have the smoke that then would be air.
Smoke is very sacred, especially to where I'm from in Virginia. the indigenous people of Virginia, smoke and tobacco is very, very, very sacred to them. It was not, and this is what I don't like, because people just don't do their history, don't know a lot. They put all indigenous people in this category that tobacco was used recreationally, that everybody was smoking a peace pipe. That's not true. Specifically in Southern, indigenous people did not necessarily use it so much for recreation. It was literally only used for religious ceremonies. And honestly, there's more people using tobacco as an incense than actually smoking it too. So that's why I said it is important to bring up. And I like the fact that you didn't put this wall up for people who have who either medically can't smoke or they just don't want to. You don't necessarily have to smoke it. You know, the tobacco can be burned as an incense and it's just as powerful. You might see some different effects, just as well as what Cosmic said. There's more of a personable effect that happens when necessarily using a cigar. However, burning tobacco as an incense on its own, praying over it as it's burning into your cauldron. And I think a lot of us need to really get more back into just cauldron work, because that is something that you will find across every practice. Hoodoo, conjure, root work, I don't care what practice, there is always some form of cauldron work. So a lot of you, to my prayer warriors out here, you know, taking you a nice piece of tobacco, you know, a nice piece of tobacco, nice dried out or something like that, burning it over some coals, and speaking your intention, saying your prayers as that is blowing up, blowing your breath on it, really does will take your prayers to a whole nother level. Now, this is one of your best friends right here. A lot of your spirit guides will require this. They may not want it smoked. They may just want you to give them some fresh tobacco. One thing about Virginia is that tobacco is so bountiful. It grows out of the ground. We have so much wild tobacco. You don't even have to grow it. You can just pick it. Some of your spirit guides may require you to burn this as incense to help you communicate with them. Some of them may want you to smoke cigars as you are talking to them. You know, some of them may want you to blow charges of smoke to them as well. So I think tobacco is one of the best herbs that anyone can use as it relates to just connection to a higher source of spirit. Tobacco is amazing.
Whether you're putting it in a cauldron, right, which is, I mean, that's a whole show by itself, I'm sure, right? But you know, the womb, basically, right? The incubator, the engine there. But furthermore, dressing things, blowing charges at things is very potent. So for example, I have, you know, my juju deck here, and my juju deck has an eye in it, which is traditional way in my tradition, how to consecrate a spiritual deck. You put an eye in, you put a hole all the way through, and which is fine here because his eyes are not open right now. I can show him. And then to open the eye, you blow a charge through here. You get the point, right? I can stick this all the way through. My point being this, that even when we talk about smoking, I do want to make just a little bit of a clarifying statement here. When I talk about smoking cigars, I don't want to convey the idea. I'm talking about inhaling the smoke. Okay, but these are not cigarettes. So this is just bringing it into the mouth, turning it over in the mouth, and then exhaling. And if you're working them, then there are some different techniques with how you exhale and so on and so forth. But I just wanted to just put that out there. I wasn't advocating that people get a cigar and are inhaling that in the kind of work that I'm discussing here. I'm sure it's done somewhere, but that's a little bit beyond me.
You know, the Cherokee called tobacco Zalu. And I'm probably saying that wrong just because my tongue is kind of Spanish, but it's spelled T-A-S-A-L-U, Zalu. How I say. If I'm saying it wrong, please y'all forgive me tonight. But it means fire in the mouth. It actually means fire in the mouth. And
so can we get into this?
Let's get into it. Go ahead. Do the cosmic.
Okay. Because I didn't know any of that. But so in some rituals that we do, there was about something being in the mouth also, right? While you're smoking, whether you're chewing certain herbs, you might have cloves there, you might have alligator peppers, you might have other kinds of peppers there, right? You're doing a very strong, forceful, let's say a separation work, a literal hot foot work or things like that. Then you want to bring that level of force into, you really want your mouth to be full of fire. You want the spirit to get the idea, you know, so that's remarkable. That's why I'm so excited about your class, man. This is powerful.
That's why I'm one of those people that, like, I don't eradicate anything from my practice as it relates to my blood. You know what I'm trying to say? Some people are very, very one way. Like, I'm going to do it the African way, and that's it. And that's great. I'm not knocking nobody's practice, but me, I'm going to learn everything in all parts, because it all makes sense and it all brings us back to a crossroads. You know, tobacco, I really would like to see more people put emphasis on it being burned like an incense, you know, not taking away anything from the cigars. But I think that using both, to be honest with you, even maybe burning the tobacco as you're blowing the smoke. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, now it's creating even an additional piece of energy, because this is something that's very shamanistic. A lot of people, the same way we use Florida water and stuff like that, a lot of people burn sage, and I've never been taught to burn sage. I've always been taught that it's just supposed to be given as an offering, and it's very sacred. Tobacco is one of the best things that you can use to cleanse a person, like just putting the tobacco in your cauldron and, you know, cleansing a person's body from head to toe with the tobacco is very, very, very effective. It is used to calm angry waters as well. That's what a lot of people don't understand, that the tobacco was also used to ward away, like maybe when it was going to flood, the weather was bad. It's also used to calm things. Tobacco is a spirit of calming and blessings and a prayer, things of that nature as well. Having a knowledge of both and incorporating both into your practice is only going to take it to the next level. I'll probably myself need to do more tobacco cleanses as well. I probably should do more of those myself, to be honest with you.
As you were speaking there, I was thinking to myself, I wonder, as you were bringing up that very powerful point about the smoke, about tobacco itself, calming. Right. And there we can get into some of the astrological correspondences with tobacco that renders that. But I started to think about what you also said in the folklore about when it needs to be harvested during something chaotic happening, because it is a type of peace plant, you know. And I thought that was very, very remarkable, very fitting for that, to give it a charge, right, to give it force, so to speak. And that's interesting. I think it's so critical that the tobacco and the cigar are not conflated together as the same thing. As you mentioned there is a spirit of tobacco. Yes, smoke is a bridge, but who's walking across that bridge?
Yes. Yes.
The cigar is a vehicle. The smoke is a bridge, but you got to have something in that vehicle. You see what I'm saying? And so this is why,
this is why we came together. Because most people would not have said that. That's why I like doing kind of stuff with you, because you get it. That is, I'm at a loss for words, but if you don't recognize that this is the vehicle, this is the movement, but this is the spirit, you have to respect the spirit for this to work, you know? So that was that. Thank you, brother, for this, you know, having my back on that one.
It's easy when you're right.
Two things I want to touch on. One, when you talked about it needed to be a harvest, like during the thunderstorms and things of that nature. Well, a lot of indigenous beliefs have to do with the sky. A lot of the cosmology and the spirit world is believed to be in the sky, what is on above as well as below, right? So when we see thunderstorms, or specifically lightning, that is the spirits being activated. They're talking, they're moving, they're alive. That's the gray spirit, you know, actually, you know, being alive and active. And for those of you all who may not necessarily be into indigenous folklore of the Americas, I mean, you could translate that even into Yoruba beliefs. You know, there are many thunder spirits, okay, and lightning spirits. So for those of you all that work with deities that are associated with lightning and thunder, even if you're not cultivating your own tobacco, the modern way of doing this is a good day or time to use your tobacco, okay? Because I know all of us are not going to be in a space where we can go pick it, but at least using it during that time is a very potent time to use it, okay? So I just want to just throw that out there too, for one. Two, we all probably need to put a better emphasis on just preparation work. And what I like about the cigar work a lot is that it puts an emphasis on preparation work, right? If you were to dress a cigar or to boil it or something like that, I love the fact that that's there, the element of patience is there, because you know that cigar can't be used right after that. it needs to sit. It needs to dry for a couple of days, you know, for that, for everything to dry, for it to be used the way that it needs to. And it just, it helps cultivate that spirit of patience that every practitioner needs to have. But not only that, too, preparation work, right? Tobacco in many cultures could only be grown by men. And that's crazy because women were the ones who typically were the ones doing the farming or the ones doing the herbal culture or things of that nature. But for a man to only be able to work with this spirit that this speaks of, that a lot of people don't know, that even the same thing with like hijinx too. In some cultures, it was only men could touch it. I know for a fact kids could not touch it at all. Hijinx was just too powerful. They would not allow children to touch it at all. Preparation work on our herbs. Blessing them, praying over them, dressing them, doing all of those things, and just not being so head ready to just jump into the work, but allowing it to unfold over a number of days and letting your spirit be ingrained with the process. Overnight rituals are great, but like it hits different when you are in a ritual that kind of lasts a couple of days, sometimes weeks. And, you know, your spirit has to be in that mode of just ritual every single day. I do think that is a growing space for any practitioner.
Just jump right in there. Man, you laid some good groundwork. Because just to comment about the as above, so below, right? That the gods were, the sky gods were included in many of these traditions. And this, as my elders have told me, is that the clouds, so it's as above, so below, right? And I'm just thinking over and over about what you said about it being picked during thunderstorms. So in our tradition, the cigar speaks, okay? And I mean, in many cases, it speaks literally, literally talks, because the ash will open up like a mouth. And as a whole, just keep that in mind. I'll come at that in a second. But as you are working with the cigar, a couple of things are happening. One is that you may start getting sparks that fly out, right? Or little embers that fly in the cigar, which correlates, that's the below. The above is lightning, okay? You will hear the cigar making certain popping noises or whatever as it's burning, right? That's the below, but the above is thunder, you see? And so, of course, it's also going to give off a smoke that's below, but above is the clouds. So the spirits of the heavens or the gods who are smoking with you, right? That's how they smoke, right? In many traditions, when there's thundering and lightning, those are the spirits smoking, right? Smoking their tobacco, smoking their cigar. They're throwing the flesh of the embers of their cigar as the lightning. You're hearing the popping of the cigar as the thunder claps. And of course, the smoke, of course, is all the clouds going on. So I wanted to say that was about patience in the work, right? So I come from a holiness background, right? I have an apostolic background, and it's all about patience, right? We would be there praying 24 hours. That was nothing. You fast for 72 hours, dry fast, easy. That was a piece of cake. And so you learned how to saturate, right, in prayer. There's a saying by a great philosopher that says to inflame oneself in prayer. And the patience of having these things dry out does that. In my tradition, when something dries, you know, we know scientifically that when it dries, the moisture evaporates out of whatever it is. We know that scientifically. But in my tradition, spiritually, the opposite happens, right? It dries because the moisture, the medicine is being drawn deeper into the roots, right? Or into the cigar, what have you. It's condensing itself down. And so whatever you have been boiling, whatever you've been tincturing, is now drawn deeper into the very fibers, the membranes, of course, of the tobacco. And I don't want to talk too much of it. You said something that just triggered me, which was hijinx, because
spirit just stepped in the room. You feel what I feel just now, because I'm hot.
Yes.
I'm hot.
I felt the wind, as we say.
This spirit just came down. They said y'all going a little too soft. Y'all need to drop it on them. Cause I'm sitting here thinking about too, like, all right, two things. One, this is why I'm so heavy on just African Americanism in spirituality. I'm so I don't take nothing away from Pan-Africanism, but I'm so heavy on African Americanism. Why wouldn't this be a plant that you want to cultivate a relationship with? This is a plant that your people's picked. See, I'm from Virginia. This is a plant that created one of the biggest industries in America built off of Black people. But see, we skip over that because this is not an African root. It's not an African root. It is an American root. But then there are those of y'all that skip over the natives. And this is why I'm just like, anybody that's working in hoodoo conjure work, you really do need to have, if you don't even have Native American blood in you, you need to have respect for those spirits. There is not one botanica that you go into where you will not find statues of Native American spirits, because this, at the end of the day, this is still their land. This is still a plant of the indigenous people here. Yet you find it being used everywhere now because they know that it's something there, and they know that it's something popular, and they know it's something very special there. So to be African American, why this spirit, the spirit of tobacco, will work so well with you is for two things. One, most of y'all got some Native American blood in you, even if it's just 2%, it's there. Two, this is a plant that your people, your blood, picked and cultivated and created industry. You want to burn a money growing herb, it's right here. You want to burn a divinatory herb, it's right here. When we talking about those of y'all that work, and this is why I know I'm going to have to incorporate this in my class a little bit about spirit guide work, because I got a lot of girls in my group, not a lot, but a few. They got those mammy and the madama spirits. They need tobacco because mammy smoked her cigarettes. Mammy smoked her cigar. You know what I'm trying to say? So you having a relationship with your spirit guides, you're also going to need to have a relationship with the spirit that carries the message for them as well. This is a very much an herb for people of color, period.
As you were just saying that, I thought about your carrier, your male man, your male woman, your male person, right? You want to develop, if you think about that, we may overlook our interactions with them, but we know that we want to have a good relationship with our mail carrier, right? With us, hey, how you doing? A hello. You may know their first name. They may say, oh, you know, I got to hurry up, or I wasn't on my shift last week because I had to go check on the kids, etc. They are the mail carrier, right? They are bringing and delivering your packages, which would be your effects. If you want to see that in the real world, they are also bringing and delivering your mail or your information. We might say we're keeping with the cigar analogy. And I think, also, because of the cultivation that came through our people, then like with anything that our hands touched, okay, that thing also began to give us some of its secrets, some of its mysteries, right? We would not have been used to cultivate this particular plant if we did not have access to the mysteries of it to make it grow in a certain way, et cetera. So, Sia, you're right on the money with that. It's just powerful that we're both thinking about Hi, John, in this, because literally, yes, we would not be having this show. I would not be having this. I would not be doing any of this had it not been for my work with Hi, John. It was Hi, John that actually led me deeper into working with the cigar work, right? As we begin to follow the legends of Hi, John, and found that there's also a Mexican version, right? That the Hi, John root itself is not necessarily indigenous here in the South, as many people might have formerly believed. It comes up through Mexico, and there's also a Jalapa in Mexico. And so we started to follow that trail, come to find out there's a folklore there about a liberator, about a one who tricks, one who outwits the devil, one who frees the slaves, etc. And so before you know it, you keep following that down through Mexico. I found myself next thing in Venezuela, where now there is Don Juan del Conquistador, you know, John the Conqueror. And he's got, just like in hoodoo, you know, he's got brothers and cousins as Lo John and Dixie John. There he's also got a whole family of Johns, right? And so before I knew it, Hi John's passing me off, walking me to the door, knocking on the door, and who answers the door, but Don Del Tobacco, Papa Tobacco himself. And it's just been a journey from there.
It's so funny, right? Okay, so one, let's talk about Hi John for just 1 second. Like that herb is so, it speaks to much more than just magic. And when we did our script, and I remember talking to him, I was like, well, you know, that herb it talks about, it's a very powerful herb. It was not in North America at all. It was not. It was in Central and South America. And it got to North America through the trade routes from the indigenous people. They brought it up through Mexico. They brought it up. The people from the Mississippi region and the people who were down in Mesoamerica and Mexico, they traded for years, always. People around the Gulf, they've been trading for years. So that's just a fact. They brought the seeds with them. Is it so funny that all of the most exploited roots that hold the most sacredness that come from the Americas? Sage, tobacco, hijon. Hijon has definitely been exploited, as well as coca leaf. Coca leaf is just as sacred as tobacco when you go further south in the Americas. The coca leaf is used for divination. I mean, it's not used for just like, you know, like snorting coke and stuff. Like, that's something that we exploited from these spirits. But the coca leaf is a spirit as well. It is a spirit of divination. That spirit has kept people working and alive in the Andes regions for centuries. So it is very, very odd to me that some of the most sacred roots of this land are some of the most exploited, just because people know their power and they know just the extent of what they can do. Always glad to have you here tonight. And just shout out to everybody that decided to come in and listen to us. This is Cosmic and I's first time doing this YouTube live stream together, and definitely will do more. I really do appreciate this. So as always, before we go, you know, Dr. Cosmic, did you want to just offer us any words of advice, any of your last statements? You know, as I say, do the Cosmic real quick.
As always, you can find me on cosmic.com. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Seer. I thank you for all that he's doing. I bless what he's doing. I bless his coming. I bless his going. I bless his uprising and his down sitting. And Father, I just speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, before, and behind him. I send my word to all directions and to all dimensions, that every blessing that is due him, that has been held up, that might have been plucked out of his hand illegally, I just release and I invoke the avenging angels to go and to retrieve it back for him. Father, I just pray that you would release this a year to him to be a year of divine compensation, a year of divine response, and what was lost being returned back again supernaturally. And Father, I bless everything he puts his hands on. I bless the hoodoo conjure root work. And I just speak prophetically, and I say to this HCR that it'll be HCR TV. And I speak to the HCR network, I prophesy. And I speak even to the HCR brand for apparel for the community. And Father, whatever they're doing, I just speak my blessing upon it, and I just change the staff of their angels for going forward. And I'm so grateful, Seer. I'm really, really grateful for this platform, for this concept, for what you do for the community. Bless you, sir. You've been a tremendous inspiration to me.
Thank you so much. You are an inspiration to us all, too. And I love what you're doing. I'm honored to work with you and be inside with you. So, you know, anything that we got going on in the future, and I got another idea too, you know, I definitely always want to get you a part of that. And all of you all are invited to Cosmic's class. Mine as well too. You know, I think that I think taking both of these will only enhance you. As I always say, invest into your spiritual journey. You know, we invest in so many things that don't take us anywhere, that don't give us anything back. Invest into something that's truly yours, that you do own, and that no one can take away from you. As always, before we go, I just want to just say on this Magic Mondays that today is the day of you guys' prosperity. You know, today is the day that all doors shall be open for you. If something was closed, the door is now open for you today. I want each and every last one of you to remember that you are blessed, your bloodline is divine, and that you do come from the best of the best. Cosmic is getting ready to put out a bunch of books for us, because this brother is very gifted and has a lot of information that he needs to give out to the world. And as long as I'm in your life, I'm going to keep pushing you. And I just want to remind each and every one of you, like I said, you come from the blessed of the best. Your bloodline is divine. I bless your hands. May your hands be like the Midas touch. May the things that you touch, may they manifest in front of your face. May they materialize as if they were gold. And as always, my people, thank you for showing out. I send you out in love, light, and most importantly, protection. And with that, me and Brother Cosmic, we release you into the atmosphere.
Thanks for listening to the Who Do and Chill podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and let us know how much you enjoyed the show. As always, donations of love keep our podcast alive and give us the ability to enhance our content. Please use one of the donation links in the description to send a donation of love today. And we'll see you on the next episode of Who Do and Chill.